it. And so when people kept talking about missionaries here, I thought it was so weird, and I really just couldn't wrap my brain around it. So sometime in roughly 2013 or 2014, maybe I was at a vision conference or something like that, but I remember that there was a visiting missionary, and he was talking about, you know, what he was doing on the field and what God was doing through him, wherever he was. I don't even know who this was, but I remember distinctly looking up at him and being like, this dude is absolutely insane. Who in their right mind would leave America with all of our comforts and all of our conveniences and go to these third world countries and do all this stuff? I thought it was literally insane. And so we fast forward a year or so later. I had grown some more in the Lord, and I remember my attitude changing just slightly from that person's totally nuts to something more along the lines of, oh, that person's doing such a great thing for Jesus, and that's great for them. And that's, so I was changing a little bit, but it's still pretty cold missions. I personally never wanted to leave the United States. I was terrified of going outside of the country, and especially going someplace where I didn't know the language. I thought that would be the most scary thing and terrible thing. I saw too many movies, you know, where, like, you get your organs harvested when you go someplace on accident. So, like, I was terrified to leave the United States. Sophie, fast forward again. I think it was at a women's conference, and I think it was when Mindy Clark was there. But she was sharing about some of the inconveniences that she experienced on the mission field. And she talked about, like, how their London apartment was so much smaller than the house that they had in America. And, like, they had these tiny washing machines, and she had to do all of this laundry for all of their kids, because I think they have four kids, right? And so they had to do all of this laundry in this tiny little washing machine. And I remember just being, like, so utterly convicted about how inconvenient that was, and how, like, convenient my life was, and how dare I complain about my laundry when she's doing all of this. And I'm not sure if she said anything to challenge us or if God just spoke to me directly, but I remember thinking, like, wow, the sacrifices that she's making for the Lord. And I wondered how my life would look different if I was on the mission field. Like, what would change? And that question, just rolled around in my brain, pretty much since then, like, what would be different? So I knew that if I was a missionary, I would have to pray a lot more. Like, every time my husband left the house, I would be praying, and every time I woke up, I would be praying, and every time my kids, you know, left or did anything, I would be praying for them. I knew that, hold on, I lost my spot. I would have to open my home more to people, and maybe even have church in my house. I'd have to probably lead the women's group while Mitch taught the men, and definitely probably teach all the children by myself while Mitch taught the adults. And I would have to be faced with illness or injury without the safety net of American, you know, relatively good health care, which would be scary. And so I didn't know very much, but I knew that my life would be radically different if I was to be a missionary. And that just really challenged and humbled me and gave me a new perspective on, you know, the missionary life. So if we fast forward again, this is probably 2018 at the Vision Conference. It was a day session. And the whole time, the whole conference, God is like, go get your passport. And I'm like, no. And it was just super terrifying. And I'm like shaking in my boots, like, I don't want to go get my passport. And it was a lunch session. And I came in here and I got my lunch. And all of the tables are full except for one. Ooh, sorry, I did something. And all the tables are full except for one, the table that Pastor Randy was sitting at. And I was like, cool, I'm going to go sit with the missions pastor. Which at that time, I don't know that I've ever had a conversation with Randy up until that point. So I sit down with Randy and I casually ask, so what missions trips you got planned, Randy? And Randy gets so excited. He starts talking about all the missions trips. But one of them was a VBS trip to Italy. And I was like, VBS? What? That's what I do. I do that. That's great. And then it was like, Italy. And I'm like, Italy's not that scary. Like, I could probably go to Italy. I could probably speak, you know, not Italian, but, you know, they mostly speak English. I was like, I'd be fine there. So I got excited. And that gave me enough courage to tell Mitchell when we got into the car, like, hey, we need to make a stop at the post office. And Mitch was, like, totally gung-ho. He's like, absolutely, let's go get our passports. That sounds great. And, like, I still was really scared. And I remember filling out, you know, all the information in my application and being like, you know, God just wants me to obey. He's not going to send me anywhere. That doesn't mean he's sending me somewhere. It just means he wants me to obey. And as long as I obey, he'll be happy, right? And so that's how I rationalized it in my brain, because I was still terrified. So sorry. Okay, so if you fast forward again to Vision Conference 2019, Joe and Amy Hendricksman were both here. Joe had been to HBF before, and he told this really terrifying story about an experience he had with another missionary with, like, a demon, and he prayed over them, and, like, a dust devil blew away, like, when the demon left him, and, like, it scared me to death. I did a terrible job retelling that story, so if you want more details, ask me later, and I'll try to rehash it better. But I was super scared of Joe. I was like, that's freaky. And plus, Joe's just, like, a giant of a man, so he was just really intimidating to begin with. But Amy got up on stage, and she shared her testimony and her heart and about how she grew up as a missionary kid in Africa, and she had always expected to return to Africa and be a missionary. And I was just utterly blown away by her heart and by just how she thought, like, who grows up their entire life expecting to be a missionary? Like, that was so radically different from how I grew up and what I thought about when I was growing up. And I was super challenged by it, but I just wanted to get to know her more. Like, I just loved her heart, and I just wanted to get to know her more. And at this vision conference, Lee Carter and Heather, his wife, were also here. And so there was two awesome women here who were sharing stuff. And there was a really funny story, which Paige isn't here to laugh at me with this. But anyway, so because I was scared of missions, and Paige knew that, because Paige was taking me through woman to woman. And so I thought that Lee and Heather were going to Decatur, Alabama, because that's where they're from, but I thought that's where they were going. And so I had jokingly told Paige, like, ha, 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 I could totally go on a missions trip to the South. And then they got on stage and were talking about the DR, and, like, Paige texted me in the middle of service and was like, ha, ha, how South are you willing to go? And I was like, sent her, like, emojis, like, you know, the zipper mouth, and, like, I'm never speaking out loud again. Like, I just put my foot in my mouth every time, and it was really funny. Anyway, so Lee and Heather were both here sharing about going to the DR, and God was really pressing on my heart to go talk to these women, but I was very intimidated by them, because I'm just little old me, and they're just, like, these awesome, wonderful missionary wives, and they're doing all these great and amazing things for God, and I was like, what am I going to talk to them about? Like, I was like, I do children's stuff, like, yay! I was like, I didn't know what to talk to them, so I was really scared. And so every time, you know, I tried to go talk to them, they were, like, you know, talking to somebody else. And I'm like, oh, I can't interrupt. Like, I don't want to bug them. Like, oh, I don't know what to say. And so, like, I wouldn't go talk to them. So I went to the bathroom, and I left, you know, the stall and went to go wash my hands in totally empty bathroom except for Heather Carter standing right there washing her hands. And I'm like, cool. And so she, like, you know, looks up at me, and it's so warm and sweet and talks to me. And that broke the ice and made me realize that they're, you know, just people, and it gave me the bravery to go talk to Amy, and I just became fast friends with both of them. I just thought that they were both really awesome, but they didn't deserve to be on the, they didn't deserve to be on the pedestal that I had put them on, but they were super sweet, and so that just changed my heart for realizing that missionaries are just people, too. They're not some superhero or some, you know, crazy person. They're just nice, normal human beings just like me. And so sometime later that year in 2019, the trip to Oaxaca was announced, and Mitchell was super inclined to go. And I tried to convince him that my place is in the home with my kids, and you go, and I'll stay here, and everything will be fine. And he said, nope, you're going. And so I was going. from the moment that we committed to the trip, I was almost constantly filled with dread and fear. Mitch and I would be casually talking about it, about, like, what we were going to pack and, you know, just random stuff like that. And I would just randomly burst into tears, like uncontrollable weeping, just because the fear would overwhelm me so bad. And I prayed for so much strength and encouragement that year. And I listened to Building 429 song, Fear No More. Solid song. Love it so much. But I had to listen to it on repeat at, like, super high volumes to just try to, like, calm myself down and remind myself not to be so scared. It did not work, but I tried really hard. So we did it. I was still terrified, and we had to stop on our way to the airport so I could be sick at the gas station. But I made it to the plane and to Mexico. And the trip was super wonderful, and even though we all got diarrhea, it was still an amazing trip. I spent a lot of time with Amy and helping her and just talking with her about life and about the Lord, and it was super encouraging for both her and me. And somewhere in Mexico, I lost my fear, and praise God for growing me through it and sending me on the trip in the first place. And so in the 2021, we planned another trip, and Mitch would lead it this time. And I was eager and excited to go back. And it was also a really great trip. I really loved it. And God humbled me very thoroughly on that trip and challenged my heart to grow in selflessness. But the most difficult part of that trip was leaving my children behind. The person that I had left them in the care of wasn't the most sober-minded or spiritually filled person. Totally trustworthy. I didn't just leave my kid with some random person. But things at home just were not going well. There were some struggles with obedience and all sorts of stuff. And it was just not going well. And I was getting, you know, upset phone calls. And it was just really, it was really hard. And so I was totally distracted most of the trip and just absolutely worried about back home. And I honestly kind of felt like a fish out of water most of the time that I was there. Not that it wasn't good and worth it to go, but my heart was just back home. It wasn't on the field with my where I was. And so when Mitchell led the trip again in 2022 and 2023, I was really content to stay at home with my kids and support Mitchell from there. Not that it was always easy and that I didn't have some bouts of FOMO, but I knew that in this season I was supposed to stay at home, and I did. So when Tristan this year, which was technically 2024 last year, he was expressing an interest in going on the trip. Mitch and I discussed it at length, and we decided that if he could fund his trip and stay up on his chores and his school and obedience within reason, that he could go. But because Mitchell was leading the trip, he didn't think he could reasonably take Tristan alone. And in the case that Tristan got sick, he didn't want to have to leave the team and make the team go on their own and abandon them so he could tend to Tristan. And or if Mitchell got sick, because the previous trip he had gotten pretty sick, he didn't want to have to, you know, give Tristan to somebody else's care and be like, hey, can you watch my kid while you guys go do this stuff in Mexico? And so it was decided that if Tristan went, I would go too, so I could help with Tristan and do anything that may need help or, you know, may arise. However, just a few months or a few weeks really before the trip, Tristan only had about 2/3 of his funds, and it wasn't going so hot. Some of his other requirements maybe weren't being met either, maybe possibly, I don't know. And so I really felt like the trip just wasn't going to happen, and that we would just have to postpone it for him and me for another year. And even my funding was kind of difficult at the time with Christmas and birthdays and all of the activities that the boys are in. We were going to have to do some, like, financial backflips to make it work, which we could have done, but it would have taken some jumping through some hoops. And so given all of those circumstances, I really just felt like that door was closing for this time, which was totally fine because I still totally believe that I should be at home with my kids, and that's my first ministry and where I need to be, and I'm happy to be there. But God, just weeks before Mitchell bought the tickets to go, someone reached out to him and offered to finish funding Tristan's trip. He had earned over $800 but still needed about $500. And then a week or so after that, someone else had reached out and told Mitchell that they believed in ministering together as a couple and felt God leading them to fully fund my trip as well. So there was nothing holding us back from going at that point. So after that, it was clear that God opened the door and that we were going to Mexico. So I still had a lot of stress and anxiety about leaving my kids behind because I hadn't gone on a missions trip since that last bad experience when it just wasn't so good. But I still had a lot of worry and stress from leaving, you know, just to leave them this time. I cried multiple times in the hours leading up to drop off, and Mitch was even like, do you want me to just bring them along? I'll buy extra tickets. And I'm like, they don't have passports. And I was just like, it was like a whole thing. Sounds funny now, but I was weeping. It was really hard. But this trip offered a new perspective on missions. I got to witness my son's first international trip and see him totally flourish in the culture. He was born to be in Mexico. He just, like, loved it, every part of it. I thought for sure he'd struggle with some of the foods and some of the things that we had to do, but he didn't. He just rolled with it, and it was, like, no big deal to him, and it was really good to see and just exciting to experience that with him for the first time. I'm still reflecting on some of the things that God was showing me while we were in Oaxaca. But what I can say was that God really encouraged me and challenged me in the aspect of joy. So last year was really hard on me. I tore my ACL. I was laid up for half the year. I didn't get to go to a lot of functions that I typically go to all the time. And I felt really lonely and just sad and mad that it took so long. Like, why did it take so long to get better? Which everybody told me it would take forever. But it really took way longer than I expected it to. Phil was even like, 2 years. It'll be 2 years. I'm like, no, definitely not. I'm going to get this. I'm going to be better. And I just did not get better. I'm still struggling. So I totally agree with you. 2 years. but anyway, so I just felt like I was a lot more grumpy and just sad, and I just didn't feel like I had joy anymore or as much joy as I used to have. And so we had me and Mitch, like, were joking and laughing around, and one of the ladies on the trip was just like, oh, you guys have so much joy, and it was so sweet. And, like, it was just like a nonchalant comment. She didn't mean anything, like, by it, but it, like, really warmed my heart just to remind me that, you know, like, I do have joy in my life. I'm not, you know, a bum. I'm not angry or sad, because I'm really not. It was just like a really hard year. And so, so God just really encouraged me in that. And that's all I have.
Any questions for Jeremy?
We might not have time.
Okay, Tristan.
Woo! Show me how to deal with that, or you got it?
the arrows. Okay. I'll just hit this arrow whenever you're ready.
Oops.
This is Tristan.
You just want to get on the kit?
You
just have to hit the arrow.
You don't have to do anything else.
Okay.
New drummer, new guitars.
You guys are falling apart.
You get up there and sing, okay?
I don't know.
All right, so this is the timeline of what we did. So on the 1st, what did we do, Tristan? If you remember.
Saturday the 20th.
If you can remember what's.
Saturday the 1st.
We went to the mountains. Is Paxil in the town?
Yeah, it's actually Aiden, but that's fine. I'll share what we did each day, and then you can talk about what you liked about that day.
Okay.
So day one, so we flew in on Saturday, Friday. Yeah, Friday, and we stayed that night in Oaxaca City. That's the first time we've flown into Oaxaca City. And then we went on Saturday straight into the mountains to this town. It's Paxlan is the town, Paxtlan. And then there, so they had gone previously on a few trips and handed out the Samaritan's Purse Christmas shoe boxes. So we didn't get to hand out a lot of those like we thought we were, because by that point he had given away all the kid ones, and there was only like youth aged, and there's not a lot of youth kids. There's a lot of little kids. And so they'd gone back, and this was day one of teaching the lessons from the Samaritan's Purse discipleship lessons. So Jody got to teach day one creation, and then David Neville got to do a gospel message with the adults separate where Joe translated, and then we got to play games with the kids. So we broke off and played some games. What games did we play?
Four corners and red light, green light.
Yeah, so we tried to do different games that we do here that the kids like. They did not necessarily go over as well there. They played Duck Duck Goose or Pato Pato Gonzo differently than we do. And four corners, but red light, green light, surprisingly, with very little traffic lights, was a huge hit. They did love red light, green light. So, so we did that all day. And Tristan, you want to tell them about your little adventure with Caleb?
Caleb can say it better than me.
No, you can say it.
It was hard.
You went up that stairwell too?
different day.
Joe, what was he going to look at?
He was going to look at a house for rent, because they're looking at planting a church here in this town.
And the guy who owned it said that it was only like 2 football fields up the mountain. And me and Caleb started to walk up there, and it was not 2 football fields.
And this is like steep mountains. Like the hills were like this.
So Joe, Amy, and Rosa got in the guy's car and rode up the hill with him. And then Caleb and Tristan were like, we can walk, we'll be fine. And I was like, I'll stay back with the Nevilles and Jody. And then shortly thereafter, maybe 20, 30 minutes after, Joe messaged me and was like, hey, tell them to turn back. They're not going to make it. But Caleb had left his phone in the van. And so I'm like texting him, and he's not getting me back. I was like, well, I'm going to have to go for a walk. So I went for a walk to go catch them and caught them on the way back down. But they had gotten all the way up to like a peak, and
we saw them like from across.
Yeah, they were like on another peak across the valley. Joe was like waving at him. He's like, go back. So it was definitely very steep. Caleb said it was one of the hardest hills he's ever walked. So
it was like walking on one of those machines, the elliptical or whatever.
Stair climbers.
Stair climber on the highest setting for like 30 minutes straight.
No oxygen.
The road just kept going to get up to the top of a hill. I'm like, surely it's got to be up here somewhere. They went to this, I didn't know where the property was. And we'd get up to the top of the hill and there'd be another one. We'd get up to the top of the hill and there'd be another one. I'm like, this is, I don't even know how they drove up. Yeah. A car. If you didn't have a front wheel drive car, if it was raining, you wouldn't be able to drive.
Yeah.
But it's so steep. Yeah, me and Tristan. We got all the way up to this peak area, and we look across this valley. It's like another 500 yards. And there's Joe. I'm like, oh my gosh, we're never gonna make it.
Yeah, so that was a fun day. We were all exhausted by the end of the day, and then we drove all the way back to Waltuco, which was about 3.5 hours. And so the second day, we went to church in Waltuco at Grace Baptist of Waltuco. So that's the church that they originally planted in Waltuco. And the cool thing is, Caleb went with me in 2021. And we prayed over the land, and it was just land. And there's an entire church building there now. And they even have a local pastor over it now, so Joe's able to step back from that and do other things like the mountains. We ate tacos. Tristan liked the tacos. Were they good?
Yeah.
And then we went shopping in some of the markets, and we also packed pinatas. So a lot of what we did was kids' clubs, and we had pinatas for each of them. So that was a really good time. And then we went to the church up in Labente. So Labente, the 20th of November is the name of the town, which is the day of their constitution. That church was a Bible study when we went in 2019. And now it has a building and a pastor. And it's super cool to see. So we went up there and did a kids club up there. And he's got a pastor and his wife that are running that. Super sweet couple. And that was most of Sunday.
Did you say the town was called 20th of November?
Yeah, that's what they named the town. Yep, after the signing of the Constitution they had.
My name is Pico.
And then Monday we went and we prepped packets for kids. And then rode a four-wheeler. So Joe wants to get Fatima. So Rosa was the first salvation of baptism that they had for the church in Waltuco back when they first went there. And she has been a part of their team since the beginning. And she does women's studies and stuff like that. But she's got a girl, Fatima, who's Tristan's age. And he wants her to be able to ride the four-wheeler, but she's scared of it because in case there's an emergency or her mom gets hurt or whatever, that way she can get places. And she's too scared to do it. So the goal was to have Tristan do it with me, and they would get her comfortable doing it.
I didn't help.
He doesn't have experience riding four-wheelers. So. And I may have not been the best person to take him on a ride. So, and then Tristan got to do a few things with Fatima and Amy. Do you want to talk about that?
I just helped clean out the dog bowls and put food in it, and then I helped Amy water all of her plants.
Where did her water come from?
The washing machine.
So everything. They had dogs.
Six dogs. Ooh. Yeah, one is a guard dog, and the rest of them are like friends.
He's horrifying.
Yeah, he's a good dog. He does his job. But, yeah, so they reuse everything there. So, like, the laundry water gets used to water plants and all that stuff. Nothing goes to waste in Mexico.
Dry season.
Yep. And then we had some snacks at the end of the night. Tristan was excited for that. What did we have?
Crepes.
Yeah, so as you guys know, if you've heard before, we always get crepes while we're down. There's a crepe guy downtown, and Caleb.
Mitch is the only person who's ever eaten two crepes in one sitting in Oaxaca out of all of Joe's trips, including Joe, and Joe eats. And yeah. So Mitch holds the record.
I quit. I got to the top and I quit. So that's where I'll stay. I'll never eat more than that. So we had crepes on that day. Packing the packets was cool. We packed around 500 packets. We put in those. We do adult and children's ones. We stick toothbrushes. Thankfully, we went to that new Ben store in town or whatever, and we found like a box of 150 toothbrushes. We took those with us. Those were a big hit. You put toothbrushes, soap, toys, whatever they can get. And then they put in all the material, scripture and stuff like that, and Chick tracks, because Chick had given them, I think they gave him 1 million and then like 1.5 million, and he's trying to beseech them to give them 2 million this year, tracks for free. So Chick is really good about doing that. So that was on Monday. And then Tuesday, we went up to Los Naranjos, which is the orange trees. So the cool thing about this town, and Tristan enjoyed this experience, so I'll let him talk a little bit about it. But the cool thing about this town was they had hit this town a year ago on the way down from another town. And we were supposed to go to that town, which is, I think it's San Andres El Alto, which is like at the top of the mountain. And he was like, oh, we'll just stop by this town, hand out some packets, and then make our way up. We ran out of packets. So we ended up getting allowed into this town, into the school. There was about 200 kids. They only let two of us in, so Jody and I went into the school and gave out all the packets there, and then we walked the streets. And turns out it's a huge town. Joe had no idea how big this town was. It's literally on the side of the mountain. And so we handed out the packets, and it was a really good time. That's where Caleb had his stare experience. But you want to talk about handing out packets or anything that you liked about that town?
I thought it was crazy how their houses were just sitting on the side of the mountain.
Yeah. Yeah, so a lot of them are just on the side of the mountain. But there's a little bit of walking, but it wasn't too bad. I'm trying to think of what else we saw that day. And then we also got to tour the coffee shop and saw the roasting process. So up in Pluma Hidalgo, we went there on the way down. That's the coffee town. That's where we usually get coffee from. There's a different guy he's getting it from now. Cool thing about him is he's a third-generation coffee farmer. So his family's been doing that for about 130 years. And he also, Ben and Jerry's has a coffee, like Aztec coffee flavored ice cream, and that's where they get their coffee from, is that guy. Which is pretty cool. He had a black and white small little picture on the wall. He's like, yeah, tell it to them. And then we went to the bridge in Pluma. So they put up a new swinging bridge that is better than anyone Joe's ever seen. It's actually metal, big, it's a touristy thing, you know, to help raise some money. They don't have the same safety OSHA standards that we have, so you might get cut on your fingers.
I cut my finger.
The wires are all kind of, you know, whatever. And so that was a good day on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, Tristan got to experience school. You want to talk about that?
I did school. Not a lot of
what did you learn?
I love it. Social studies, science, and a little bit of Spanish, but not much.
Was it similar to what you do here?
No.
No?
What was different?
They gave a devotion at the beginning of the class.
Oh, and we don't do Bible at school?
Yeah, but...
All right, so he had a good time doing school with the kids, so he got a whole day of just kind of experiencing their day. And then we prepped for the kids' club at the mission base. And so the mission base is in Erdodua. I can't say that one. Erdodua. It's outside of Huatulco. So it's not the same town. And that's where they've stayed for years. And there's a lot of kids around that area that are rural, and they don't go to church. So he's like, let's do something here. And so they started doing a kids' club there, and they get about 20, 25 kids that come to that are unchurched. So we had them all come, and we did another pinata for them.
True.
And then the cool thing was, so Joe, and he get, if you guys don't know Joe and Amy, they're amazing, and they do a great job, and God just opens doors for them left and right. And he got a phone call one day randomly, and it was getting in contact with Chedraui, and Chedraui is like their Walmart, it's a grocery store. And it was a program they have, he doesn't know who runs it, where they give all their day-old bread to churches or wherever else. So he became a longer story, we don't have a lot of time, but Samaritan's Purse ended up contacting him because they couldn't get a hold of other pastors to distribute some shoeboxes. So he ended up with like 800 shoeboxes to distribute to other people. So he was just becoming a distribution house. But we went to the Chedraui and picked up bread, so because they contacted him about giving out this bread. Well, we got more than we've ever gotten, that he's ever gotten. So we got cakes. We got like 16 bags full of like loaves of bread. And so we went, we forgot to give them out at the kids club. So we went afterwards on the way into town and drove house to house. And like one of the couples that's just down the road, they're like in their 70s and they have 8-year-olds. Like they had kids recently. They have no electricity, but we went and gave them bread. Because a lot of the people there, the kids don't really eat breakfast. They usually have coffee and maybe some cookies. And then they'll get...
Yeah.
And but it's not like our coffee. It's a little sweeter. It's not as strong. It's not strong. Our coffee is like Tom Fortnite's coffee is not their coffee. Like it's way different. And so we went to distribute bread. That was really cool to be able to give people that. And we drove all around these different houses. And then Thursday we went to the beach and we saw a Coast Guard. Coast Guard was floating around down there. They were at the port. They were also driving around the ocean. And then Tristan got to swim in the ocean. Did you enjoy that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that cool?
I honestly don't remember. I didn't pay attention to it.
Been in South Carolina.
How far a drive?
About 45 minutes.
So in Huatulco, it's about 35 minutes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't think you were that close.
Yeah. So they're at the base of a mountain and only 30 minutes from the beach. So it's pretty cool. You get to see everything. And so you got some in the ocean. We also passed out. We walked around the shopping area and passed out 175 Tic Tacs while shopping. So that's one of the things that we try to do there. It's really cool that, you know, I'll share something briefly. But is, you know, everything that we do, we're always trying to make it about ministry. And the cool thing about Tic Tacs there is I don't know for sure, but they don't seem as effective here. But there, everyone that got a Tic Tac was automatically reading it. So, I mean, they're reading the material that we're giving them. And they're even like, and most of them are sitting there on their phones and waiting for you to walk into their little shop and sell you something. But they actually read the material there. But, so we went in there and like, you could see everyone was reading their Tic Tacs and all that stuff. And everyone's very warm to what we're doing. And so we did that while shopping. And, you know, one of the things, because I won't have a lot of time to share, that I was thinking about is just a simple thing of, what is the difference between Joe and Amy or Lee and Heather or whoever else and us, right? And ultimately, the only answer to that is the location. Everything that they're doing should be the same things that we're doing. And, you know, one of the motivations for doing stuff like this and going on these trips is one of the biggest ones for me is if you look in Ephesus or Ephesians with the church of Ephesus, Paul talks about Tychicus. That's how I pronounce his name. But Tychicus was sent to these different people to know their estate and to comfort their hearts. And, you know, it is essential for us to encourage and comfort Joe and Amy because they have nobody else who are, besides Emily, they have Emily, but that team doesn't have anybody. And one of the things that I'm big on with this trip and these trips to Oaxaca, I love getting people connected to Joe and Amy and seeing them, meeting them, getting connected to their work down there. But not every team that goes on these trips is as encouraging as they could be, right? So our goal is to always make sure that we do not leave them like, okay, I'm glad that team's gone. Now we can get to the work. Like, I want it to be encouraging and comforting for them. And oftentimes, you know, in speaking to Joe, there are some teams that are more of a burden than they are a blessing. And the goal is to be able to be a blessing to them, help them, and allow them to do things that they couldn't do without us there. Because they're only a few people. Like going up to Los Naranjos, we would not have given out, they would not have given out 500 packets. But we were able to go to get 500 packets, and then wherever Caleb went, I mean, getting connected with that one guy. So we didn't know there was a church nearby, so we found out some details on that because he met that guy. Turns out that there's a church up the hill, but they only meet on Sundays from 6 to 8 a.m. There's no other midweek service. There's no evangelism. There's no nothing. So Joe's going to try to get in contact with that pastor because he's from like 2 hours away. So trying to figure all that stuff out. Those things wouldn't happen like without other people there to assist them so that they can break off and do the things they need to do. Go ahead and hit the next slide.
You do this one.
My favorite parts of the trip, I like passing out packets in the mountains. It was fun to pass out God's word and see how the people lived. And all the food was amazing. But my favorite meal was the Al Pastor tacos, which we had twice. The second time was not as good. And I enjoyed experiencing school and seeing what it was like to study in Mexico. And I liked all the animals. They were dogs everywhere, and lizards and chickens.
Did you catch any lizards?
We did. Nice. Me and Fatima.
Oops. So that's Fatima sitting next to Tristan there.
Oops.
That's fine. Right down there, that's Fatima. That's and it was actually really good for her because she doesn't get to hang out with people her age, really. She does a lot of ministry stuff with everyone down there, but Tristan, like, they're the same age, so they were just being 12-year-olds the whole time, and which was good. It was good for her. And next one. Punch through this real fast. What do you say?
Yeah.
All right. So some of the differences, you got to pay to use the restroom. Houses are made of scrap metal or whatever they can get.
5 or 10 pesos.
What?
Yep.
And
better make it count.
Better hold it. And it doesn't include toilet paper very often. You have to take your own toilet paper in there.
There's the bridge.
There's the bridge. That was scary. Awesome.
What about the boat?
The bugs aren't bad. There are scorpions. There are tarantulas.
We didn't see any.
There's a lot of ants. You see more ants than anything else.
The bath ant was in my bathroom, and so every time, like, and it was only at night that they, I saw them, but, like, I, like, lifted up the toilet seat, and, like, some fell into the toilet, and I was like, I need to check the toilet seat before I go to the bathroom. Like,
but also, like, the first town we went to, Paxlan, in the mountain, their bathroom was a bucket with a pole in the ground. So, I mean.
Yeah, pay 10 pesos and check the seat.
Yeah, well, that was on the mission base. So that technically, that bathroom.
Go ahead and go next one. So we got to see a lot of cool things. Tristan enjoyed playing with the kids. He helped us with that. And so the town we went to, I can't get into all the details, but they had 11 people get saved that day we were there. And then they had another one the next Saturday after we left. And I think 8 more people got saved. And but they actually like did their homework and everything and came back. So, I mean, it's really encouraging. So they're hoping to have a church plant there. So it would be really cool next time we go to see that there's already, you know, an established church there. Because we've kind of seen that in the other towns. It's, we went, there hasn't been anything. We've done Bible studies, and then we go back a year later, and there's a church. And it's just cool to see God working in that way and see it growing. Tristan played a lot of Uno with the kids. Funny, that's an easily translatable game for some reason.
Next.
And let's see. Lessons Tristan learned. There's his gecko. What'd you learn?
A little bit of Spanish. Trust in God when you are afraid. And don't run around dogs. Don't.
Unless you're Caleb. Caleb's faster than the dogs. So Caleb was going on runs and stuff and working out. So he didn't have any issues with any dogs, though. It's us. One of the things we didn't mention, when we came back from the mountain, this guy was waiting for us. So this guy helped, this will be the last thing we share, so you guys go to service. So he came down from a town near the border, the U.S. border, and he had helped Joe get the Bibles across into Guatemala. If you guys saw his Facebook post or follow him on Facebook, so they were talking about smuggling Bibles into Guatemala. The reason why they have to smuggle them across the river is because Guatemala will tax them like $30 per Bible. So these were the Bibles that we made at the Bible conference and that Grace made at their Bible conference. So he helped him smuggle them across into Guatemala. And then when we came back from the mountain, he was waiting for us. And we loaded up his truck with scripture. It was him, his son, I think his wife, and another lady. And they are Pentecostal. But Joe was like, you know what? Whoever can get scripture out can get scripture out. I don't really care. So he gave them a bunch of Bibles and then sent them on their way. And they had been traveling for 29 hours. So that's how far away their town is. And they were driving, just rotating through, driving in this truck. And that truck seen better days. But that thing was rough getting up that hill. Anyway, so that, yeah, that's them reading the chick track there.
When we had lunch.
And when we had lunch. And then Pinata over there. This is El Tule. This is a giant tree. I don't think we have any pictures of it right now. If you guys want to know anything else or know any see any pictures, we have all of it. We can tell you all about it. I wasn't sure how long this would take. There's me and Tristan. That's at the lighthouse. There's a lighthouse that we go to every trip. And go look at the ocean. So that was pretty cool. In 30 seconds, does anybody have any questions? I didn't get to share anything. But that's, well, I helped him. But anyway, that's okay. If you guys want to know anything or know more about, like, you know, what God's doing and kind of my experience in the trip, feel free to ask me. I'll talk to you. I'll tell you all about it. So it was a great time. And everybody get Tristan a round of applause. Good job, Tristan. All right. Well, since you guys don't want to be late to service, I'll go ahead and pray, and then we can talk more community. Dear God, we thank you for today. I thank you for loving us. I thank you for the opportunity just to talk about what you're doing in Oaxaca. And I thank you for Joe and Amy being obedient to you and your call on their life. I pray that each of us would just reckon the call on our lives, Lord, that you would help us to be obedient to where you would have us to be, and that you'd have us do the things that we need to do, Lord, knowing that this is not our home, Lord, that we are missionaries in this land, no matter where we are here in the world. And I pray that you'd help us to just be faithful to that and have eyes for that. Lord, I thank you for Tristan having the courage to stand up here and talk a little bit about the trip and to even go on the trip. I thank you for allowing that and opening the door. I thank you for Caleb and his faithfulness to go with us down there repetitively and just enjoy that ministry down there and encourage Joe and me. I pray that you continue to work in our hearts, Lord, to help us to be obedient in all aspects of our faith, whether that's ministry here or ministry across seas, Lord, or in different countries where we're not familiar. Lord, and I just pray that we'd be obedient, and we just give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray.